Amen. Oh, yeah. Come on. Happy Easter. What a blessed and great time already. Just the moving of God's Spirit and just His presence that's here. And just think about that for a moment, of just that God has chosen to come and truly be with us, meet with us. But even greater than that, He is within us. If you are a Christ follower, you need to be assured of that. And I'm excited. This is one of the most incredible times of the year for me. And I always try and move through kind of a process. And again, this week I picked a different devotion to go through Holy Week. And I guess there is some celebration, but it's also a difficult time, you know, when you really take in and you move through day by day leading up to Resurrection Sunday and truly look at everything that Jesus went through. And you take that to heart and you really meditate on that and you begin to realize, wow, what an incredible price that He paid for us. And it never gets old. It always moves me, causes me to reflect, causes me to think about from the very deep, dark place where I was in my life and the salvation that came. And yet, you know, you don't have to be in a very dark, dark place. The reality is, I don't care if you're Mary Poppins, you need Jesus. Mother Teresa needed Jesus. whether you're down and out, up and out, or somewhere in between, you need Jesus. And so we're here to celebrate and to really look at, I believe, Scripture and some of the things. And with our team, you know, they said that they wanted to do a theme this year of It's Not Over. So at all three campuses, and I know we might have some cheating. Some may be viewing the early service in San Angelo by live stream right now from Abilene and Arlington. But come on, let's just welcome them along with all the rest of them that may be tuning in. And we appreciate you. Thank you for being able to just tune in and pray it's working without any glitches in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. but you know, with it not, it's not over. And I knew that. I'm like, I think I've preached this before, you know, and didn't think about it, you know, and was just preparing for this message. And I got ready to send my notes. And as I was pulling up to send it, there it popped up, you know. It's like from 2018, I preached this message. I was like, oh, man, I could have really cheated. I could have just pulled the, already had a message built. But it was very different from this one. And so I believe we're at a new place. You know, the world's at a new place. Think about it. 2018 to where we are today in 2024, there's a lot that has changed, a lot that's going on that wasn't going on in 2018, right? So let's just pray this morning. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for just all that Your work doing in us and here, Father, already just in Your presence and just the moving of Your Spirit. And God, we just position ourselves here for the hearing of Your Word, and that the Word would have freedom and entrance into our hearts and our lives and bring true transformation and challenge us where we need to be challenged. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Father, have Your way today in every aspect, in every way. And ultimately, by the end of this service, let us truly say it was good to have gathered with other saints of God, to be in Your presence, to be able to receive from You, and then to be able to leave this place commissioned by You to go into our sphere of influence. So, Father, we thank You for these things. Cause me to speak as an oracle of God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. It's not over. You know, the early Christ followers had to really take that to heart. Because if you think about it, can you imagine? I mean, here Jesus began calling this ragtag bunch, you know, of the 12, you know, the disciples, but really it was a lot more. You see the 70 at times that were there, and they got sent out, and other times there was multitudes that Jesus ministered to. But in that, you see that there were those that, especially in that inner circle, that were very committed, and some of them to Jesus as Messiah, as a prophet, but there was this other element that many of them believed that somehow that he was not only redeeming them from sin. You know, they had, you know, animal sacrifices. They did all the ceremonial things to take care of sin, as far as the price being paid year after year of being able to atone for their sins. Not wash away their sins, but atone for their sins. But so they were looking for a king. They were looking for King Jesus to show up on the scene, to kick out all the Romans, to free them from slavery and from oppression and from all the different kinds of things that were there, and you know, taxation. Come on, how many are thinking we this may be take two, right? And just all of that, those things that they had a lot of their hopes locked up in that. And all of a sudden, he's taken and put through unbelievable, you know, abuse and torture. And I know that's not, that even, you know, I've read some articles this week. It's a little bit disturbing that a lot of your churches, even some of your bigger prominent churches, you know, they don't want to talk about that. Don't talk about all the pain and the suffering and the blood of Jesus that was paid, you know, that was shed. It's like, excuse me, how do you have a resurrection unless you had the cross? Right? And it's an interesting time that we're living in the world, even with the church. Sometimes I'm just like, what is going on? You know, we want to go to the text. And here, these followers all of a sudden had their hopes just bashed. And so he begins to have to show up in different ways. You know, early on at the tomb, whenever the lady showed up. And again, there's the women. I don't know where the men were at, but there's the women. They're at the tomb, and Jesus, you know, or the angel first, you know, talks to them and ministers to them, and to just declare, it's not over. Even where they were, Mary Magdalene, that Jesus had completely set free from demonic spirits and from a lifestyle of sin. And here she, all of her hopes were in that Jesus, Messiah, and then all of a sudden he's gone, crucified, dead, buried. He's in that tomb. And she shows up and hears the stone rolled away, wondering, what happened? Who stole his body? Now it's gone from bad to worse. And yet there's the angels that are there. The angel's speaking to her to renew her hope, to say, it's not over. He tells her, go and tell my disciples that I have written, oh, by the way, and tell Peter. Isn't that interesting how the Bible, how it does that at times, you know? So in Mark's gospel, because listen, in the gospels, the synoptic gospels, when you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even into the book of Acts, they don't contradict each other. They're just, the writers are emphasizing different parts and see sometimes different things. How many of you have seen the same scene go down, and yet you see from different perspectives and different things stood out? And so you, if you had to write it down, you'd write it from that. If you tell stories, you tell stories from that. And so it doesn't mean that it's wrong or that somehow they're contradicted. They don't. They just flow together. So you need to read those synoptic gospels and look at who said what. And here Mark brings out that the angel said, go tell my disciples, oh, and by the way, and tell that Peter. Because why? Peter denied Jesus three times. Obviously, Peter's like backslid. I mean, he's gone. He's off the rail. He's like, right? And Jesus is like, even him. Isn't that good? Why? Because it's not over. It's not over. God needs you to hear that today. For some of you, it's not over. When he shows up to the guys, to Cleopas and the others that are on the road to Emmaus. Come on. We Pastor Lane last week talked about, you know, his encounter, his experience in a walk to Emmaus and just how life-changing that was. Can you imagine what that was like for these guys? I mean, here they are, and yet they're somber, they're saddened, their hearts are broken. They're in this place, and here comes Jesus hiding himself from them, from revealing himself to them. And so he's like, what's up, guys? What's why are you so downcast? What's going on? And they're like, are you the only guy in this whole region that hadn't heard? Jesus, in whom we put all of our hope, all of our faith in, he's gone. He's dead. And then he continues in that process with them to eventually, you know, because he begins to share the word, it says, from Moses and through the rest of the scripture and into the prophets, and then he ultimately reveals himself to make sure they understood it's not over. Come on, it's not over. Wherever you're at today, it's not over. I want to read from this passage of scripture here in Luke's Gospel chapter 24. I want to read this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. I believe it'll be up on the screen there. He says, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary. Look at this. Look at the language in this passage. It was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to just a few of the nations. All right, I'll make sure you just wait. It is the 9:15 service, right? You know, we got two going forward. 9:15, 11. Moving on. Come on. We're making room. We're making more opportunity. I have had so many people, why don't you do an early service? We would come on, you know, if you did. We need our Sundays. I'm like, all right, no excuse now. You got a 9:15, get here. And then you go do your stuff. It says, he preached in his name, or to be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning in San Angelo, beginning here. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise. Look at this. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I'm going to break this down. I'm going to kind of mix it up a little bit. The first thing I want you to see is it's not over because we have been given promises. You know, the Bible says, Paul wrote, that the promises of God are yes and amen. The promises of God. We never need to somehow think that this is just about us coming into this place of servitude. It is offering ourselves to God, but in this, we have been brought into the family of God. We are no longer strangers. We're no longer, you know, those that are outcasts, no longer those on the outside looking in. We have been made children of the living God, and we now have a covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And that covenant, God is the God of covenant. If you don't understand that, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, if you don't understand that God is a covenant God, you'll fall into religiosity and patterns and methods of religion never somehow arise to the place of what will happen is if you enter in and you understand that I am a part of the family of God because of a covenant. It's the new covenant. That's why the forerunner, John the Baptist, said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. No other lamb was able to take it away. They were able to just atone for it. Isn't it interesting that in the tomb, and man, I was just thinking and reminiscing, you know, going through all this and thinking, man, I felt like the devil really cheated us out of a really wonderful Israel trip this past year. We were scheduled to go, and a little thing called war broke out. Two or three days, right before we were leaving. And it's a shame, you know, that all that's still going on. The tragedy of humanity and just the evil in the world and all that's going on still. And yet all of these things are signs of a coming. Because see, there's promises. See, early on, he was making promises to these Christ followers. He was promising them certain things, promising them that he it was no secret to those that are around. He kept telling them, look, guys, I'm going to die. There's a time coming that I will die, but I will be raised from the dead. He even wrote, you know, look at how many resurrection services he had. I mean, that was Lazarus, right? Even with Mary and Martha, you know, and that whole family that he truly loved, and here was Lazarus that died, and they came and told him he died, and Jesus is like, nah, he's just sleeping. And it says Jesus on purpose just decided to wait a few more days. Like, and then he shows up, and then here's Mary. Jesus, if you'd have been here. She didn't get the memo. It's not over. Come on. If God says it's not over, it's not over. And here he tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. It's not over. And he was able to see that Lazarus was able to come back. It's not over. We have these promises. Even here, Jesus was still giving a promise of the Father. There was a promise. There are promises. If you somehow are struggling without hope today, you're in the right place because he's the God of hope. And he wants to show up in your life. He wants to offer to you a hope that is eternal. Man, isn't that incredible? Guys, y'all might want to adjust the clock. It says I still have an hour. Some are sad and some are, yeah. I don't know how that happened, but I'm looked up there trying to keep track of time. It's like, okay, I have never been given that here for, you know, a long time. Kind of like the old joke, you know, the preacher looks at his watch, and I was like, some kid asking him, so why pastor look at his watch? And he said, for no reason. Yeah. God is a God of promise. He gives promises. And whatever you're going through in life, I want to encourage you to move your life over onto the Word of God. See, if these early Christ followers would have truly, truly anchored their life in those things and truly took it to heart. I mean, all the way through, you just see the struggle that was going on in this. The confusion. And how Jesus just kept showing up. I mean, he showed up in one place. It says that he shows up and it says his disciples. So you're talking about, okay, the 11 that are left, right? You know, Judas went out and hung himself. Betrayer. But here's the others, and it says they're laying, because Mediterranean, they've got tables, and so they've got pillows, and they're laying around the table. They're just kicked back, probably. Can you imagine the conversation? Jesus is crucified. They're hiding. They're actually fearful of their own lives. Can you imagine the negativity that was going on? Come on, surely none of y'all ever have any of that going on in your house. Can you imagine the woe is me and, oh man, we thought, to only find out that, nope, everything we thought, it's gone. And it says when Jesus showed up, he got in their grill. Oh yeah, the King James is actually pretty nice the way it, if you go to the original language, oh man, it uses more terms like he upbraided, that he railed them. See, some of you think, you know, Jesus is just this little lamb of God. And just, no, he got resurrected as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And he was ticked. He's like, why are you doubting? It's not over. He was disgusted with their unbelief. There is a few things that really tick God off. Just go back and read the Bible. And unbelief is a major. Why? Because he is God, God of creation. There is nothing, not anything too difficult for him. To stand and take God at his word. He's given us a promise. I got to move on. Number two, it's not over because he's given us power. Power. He made this promise connected to power. Go and tarry and wait until you've been endued with power. What was this? The Holy Spirit that would come to not just come upon people of God, but come and inhabit and fill the people of God. Where this was able to make a transition from old covenant to new covenant, to where now there is an indwelling of his Spirit, an indwelling of the presence of God, where all of a sudden there's such a greater connection, and there is a power. He wanted to eliminate excuses. Sometimes I still get around certain Christians, and it's all about an excuse. Well, there's grace. Listen, if you use grace in those kind of ways, you've misunderstood grace. Now, mercy definitely is offering and saying, you may not deserve this. I'm going to choose to forgive. I'm going to choose to not give you what you deserve. That's mercy. Grace says, you don't deserve this, but I am going to give you what you didn't earn, what you don't deserve. I'm going to empower you. So grace becomes an empowerment. Grace says, as I lean into grace, as I lean upon his grace, as I begin to ask God for that empowerment of his Spirit to continue to work in my life, grace causes you to be lifted up above the situation where you can walk that thing out. I just found that I try to encourage people in that. You know, there's somebody that I've been trying to encourage, and they're walking out a time in their life, and there's some attacks and some different things going on, and again, my two main things is keep your heart right and walk in grace. Lean into that. Let God's strength come and fill you. May need my water. You can toss it. She could have threw it. She did pretty good, didn't she? here thinking about the power that God gives us, this power within, rather than when something, some situation, crisis hits, something goes on, instead of going negative like those early disciples did, instead of giving up, instead of woe is me, I'm undone, all my hopes and dreams are, you know, shattered, and why not come back and go, man, there is a power available. See, sometimes if we're not careful, it's like, well, how are you doing under the circumstances? That's a wrong terminology. Well, I've had to sometimes it just hit me wrong at the wrong time. Like, bless God, I'm not under the circumstances. There's a power. I got the name of Jesus. I got the power of God. The blood speaks on my behalf. I don't have to be under the circumstance. Am I in a fight? Yeah, I'm in a fight. But you know what? I've read the end of the book. Come on, we win. I know at the end of this life, listen, we win. If he comes, we win. If you're ready. There's a power available. Lastly, it's not over because we have divine purpose. Look at that passage of scripture. If you look at that, he talks about the promise, he talks about power, and then but he talks about the purpose. He said that I went through this. I was necessary that the Christ suffer and die and be raised from the dead the third day. Why? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached. That repentance, some might want to say, well, you're just old school. No, I'm word school. Go to the text. What's the Bible say? There's still a need to repent. There's still a need to turn away from sin. Listen, if you're here and maybe you walked in here today and you're new, and here's the amazing, wonderful thing. If you don't leave here with anything else, please hear this. Here's the true love of God. God loves every single one of us to accept us just like we are. But he loves us enough. I said he loves us enough not to leave us in the condition that he finds us. He's always working. Oh, come on, you can give God some praise for that. He's always working to bring transformation. This is not a church where we're trying to administer some behavior modification. No, we're about always the inward transformation. And when Jesus is involved, he'll meet you where you're at, but he'll not leave you where you're at. He's a good God. And this message of repentance is still to turn from anything and everything that is somehow not in alignment to the heart of God, the will of God, and there should be a biblical worldview for Christianity, for us that are Christ followers. What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? That my life is about that. And if I'm off 10 degrees or 180 degrees, I want to turn to God. Because I want all of him. I want everything he has for me. And then here's the other part of that. That repentance and remission should be preached. Where? To all nations, beginning in our hometown. Beginning right here. There's a divine purpose that God has given us. It's not over because the mission is not over. And here's that word remission. And here's the cool thing. As I was studying this, we've already, I guess a couple of months back, you know, we've already prepared a new series that we're rolling into starting next week on freedom. Come on, we're rolling into a freedom series. Jesus paid an incredible price, not to just get us saved, not to just forgive us, but to truly set us free. Because I don't have to be around many very much and realize, oh man, ooh, they need some freedom. I don't have to go through much of my week and realize, ooh, Walt, you need some freedom. Come on, we're all a work in progress, folks. We're going to do this freedom soon. That word remission, oh man, I thought, bless God, may have to just read this one. But this is from the original language. It says freedom or deliverance, liberty, a remission. Look at this. A release from bondage or imprisonment. A release from bondage or imprisonment. What has got you bound? What is holding you back? What are you struggling with? What do you wish you had victory over? Listen, there is a message that will be preached of freedom. There is a message that God wants us free to live for Him, to make Him known. Listen, it's about knowing Him and making Him known. And he said, this message. See, it's not enough for us to somehow just get forgiven, saved, born again, whatever we want to call it. Even set free. I remember an old message that came out years and years ago. It was T.D. Jakes. Most of you'll recognize if you were around very long. And he wrote a book. It made him famous. I mean, it just took off. He started going and traveling and preaching and planted a big old church in Dallas out of Woman, Thou Art Loosed. And that was his book. Woman, Thou Art Loosed. I remember a pastor friend of mine, Pastor Detroit World Outreach there in Detroit, Michigan, Jack Wallace. And he came on a sequel on that. He's like, I don't know, woman, thou art loosed to do what? He's like, so he preached a series and a message, woman, thou art loosed, now what? Come on, saints of God, thou art free, now what? There has been remission of sins, now what? He said, carry this message. All of us have been given this assignment. See, for too long in the church, it's almost like we're looking for some crazy, you know, drooling evangelist, you know, that blows in, blows up, and blows out. That, oh, he's got the job. You know, or they're looking for, you know, somebody that's like, you know, crazy, you know, that, you know, when I got saved and first started going to church, they didn't know what to do with me. You know, I got saved in my bedroom. Of course, I didn't really look saved. You know, I had still my long hair, and I know, like Brandon was talking about, I had really long hair. Well, you saw Lane last week. So I had long hair, and it just and so, you know, I'd only been saved some months there, and it was rolling into Easter time, and I was at this church, and they decided to do a living Passover meal, you know, and had, you know, and we've got an amazing display out here, thanks to John Cross that you can look at, you know, straight from Israel. It's a beautiful, beautiful replica of that. And they were assigning who does what, and I was just involved in everything. I mean, I was newly Christian. I mean. Only thing that was, it was probably out of sync, I was so mad at Christians because nobody told me about this stuff. Like 23 years old and nobody talked to me about Jesus and about what this life was and how. So I was put out with Christians a little bit. And I'm at church, so they're doing this play. Well, they made me Simon the Zealot. He can fit that character. But this passion is still there. It's not gone away. And it's still about knowing Him and making Him known. And the reality is, it's all of our responsibility. And here's the thing. If there are some things that are out of whack in our life, God's not looking for us to be perfect. But are you working on it? Are you in the process? Are you engaged in that thing? Are you just content living in sin and just wallowing in that and just your habits having habits? Come on, I had that in the world. Before Jesus. Man, the amazing, amazing relationship that I've had now. All these many, many years. And I'm still pursuing Him more. I'm still desiring to be transformed more. Had somebody recently, they used to work for us years ago and moved off, and they've moved back and gone to work for me on the school side. Didn't have a position open on the church side, but I had one on the school side that'd come to work for me, and they asked for just to meet with me. I said, just 5 minutes. Like, I know you're busy, just 5 minutes. And I'm like, okay, because I'm not their supervisor. And so I walked in there, and they said, I just got to tell you, you are a different man. I was like, man, thank you, Lord. Because I recognized something. Early on, I remember leading this guy to the Lord early on. And after a couple of weeks, he had a powerful born-again encounter and experience. And I asked him how it was going. He was like, everyone likes the new, and told me their name. And I said, yeah, because it's not you. It's Jesus in you. Come on, can more people meet Jesus within us? Let's stand to our feet. And we're changing up the order of service a little bit. We won't be doing our regular closing song. Appreciate Joss, man, up here on those keys and just the beauty, the anointing, the atmosphere that's here. I want all of our hearts to just be sensitive. What is that that God's stirring in us? What is that that He's at work this morning? You know, one of the greatest ways to honor Him is before you leave here today, is just freshly just offer God yourself. I love the way Romans puts it, that we should offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to Him. Now, He's got to help us with that holy and acceptable part, right? Through the blood. But to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, to offer yourself to say, Jesus, continue this work. Continue transforming me. Continue making me all that You desire. And then use me. See, every one of us have a sphere of influence. We have a sphere of influence that myself and others, we won't be able to enter into those spheres of influence. But the reality is, God has placed you there. Don't see your job just as a job. Don't see your home as just a home. Don't see your school as just a school. Don't see, wherever you go, be a carrier of this good news, of the hope, of the salvation message that God has given us and God wants us to share with others. I ask you to close your eyes just for a moment. Maybe here on this Easter, some of you, you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died right now whether I would go to heaven. Somehow, maybe you've been to church, maybe you grew up in church, maybe your grandma was saved, but listen, that's not enough for you. Every single one of us needs to individually put our faith and trust in Him in the finished work that he did. See, he finished a work of, for salvation on the cross. He said it is finished. The blood was shed once and for all. Now it's freely given to and is an offer to every single one of us to enter into that. And if that's you today and you need to say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to invite everyone to pray this out loud. If that's you, please mean this from your whole heart. Mean this today. Even those that are praying, maybe we'll just include even offering ourselves fresh to him. Let's pray this out loud together. Mean this from your whole heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the ultimate price, the death on the cross, the blood that was shed, the price that was paid. And I receive that today. I turn away from my sin. I offer myself wholly to you, completely to you, as a living sacrifice. Wash over me. I want to be born again. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you and make a difference in my world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you today.